Hello, good evening. Hello, if you're driving. Hello, if you're listening at home. Hello, if you're serving a custodial sentence and you just wanna go home. And hello, if you're a cowboy with a transistor radio in one hand and the reins of a barking bronco in the other, in a late night rodeo, yeah.
This is Radio 4, and you're listening to Hearing with Hegley.
This one is called Bad Dog, and it's about when my dog was bad. The dog got my glasses the other day. I thought I'd have to chuck them away, but luckily they were all right. This one is called Very Bad Dog. I took Rover over to the park the other day. I met another bloke with another dog on the way. His dog was an Alsatian, my dog was not. He said, is that dog an Alsatian? I said, no. And he said, why don't you get a proper dog? And I said, Rover, ignore this copper. And I pick up a stick and I hold it over Rover and say, Rover, jump out of the clover. And get stuck into the stick and Rover jumps out of the clover and bites me in the arm. Alarm! Alarm! My dog, why hast thou mistaken me? I am not calm. My dog has done me harm in my arm. I show him the tooth marks. See, Rover, where the skin is mauve. Rover sees these nasty marks. He barks and he begs for forgiveness. Yet I know I must break his legs. Thank you very much indeed. This is called The Death of a Dog. The dog died the other day. I buried her where she had buried her bones and on the levelled earth laid out her name in stones. About to pick a rose to stick in her grave, action froze. A thorn had torn my thumb. I saw the blood come. And the knowledge that I too would one day be dead struck me like a shovel in the features. You're going to die, I mumbled as I replaced the shovel in the tool shed. You're going to die, said the sky as I went up the path. Back in the kitchen, I was massively oppressed by the prospect of the end, but as I looked at that bright yellow bowl from which my friend had fed and the length of lead by which she and sometimes I had been led, from somewhere I somehow drew strength. You're going to die! So live, boy, live! I shouted. I slammed my foot into the dog food bowl and sent it scudding through imaginary goalposts. You're going to die! So yippee-yi-yi! I whooped as I dragged an unopened box of little dog biscuits out of the cupboard and tore into it, oblivious to the coupon. And I tossed those dry, nutritious, fawn-coloured fragments that my dog could never know into the air like so many pieces. I meant to say pieces, so I'll have to do that line again. So I ripped in them men and I tore them over and lent them like so many pieces of confetti. You're going to die, I roared like the Yeti. You're going to die, yes, Johnny boy, you're going to die. Good news, if you live forever, you need never do anything as you do everything an infinite number of times. You're going to die! The doorbell rang. It was the bloke from upstairs. He said, I'll kill you if you don't shut up. Right, this is a song about bus conductors, and when I say the word OPO, I want you to go, what's that? At the age of 23, my mother sat me on her knee, and she said these words to me. She said, Johnny boy. Now, it may not sound like much to you, but it did the job, I'm telling you, when I was gone out through the door to get myself a job down at the depot, down in Bristol. City and Rover's town. Well, there were two machines and two of us working the omnibus, and me, I was the one behind, winding the handle up and bell ringing, and on a good day singing as well. Hello, fellow travellers, it's good to have you on. You're all very beautiful, and you can call me Johnny Boy. Hold tight, Oh, got tickets, hold tight, or will you move on down? But I'll never get my job back now, not now them Bristol buses have gone OPO.
What's that?
Well, that's one person operation. Gives a good conducting boy no hopo. Not, no, not now. So who's gonna help you to get off and on? Who's gonna hand out the conversation? Who's gonna stand in the cubbyhole? Who is gonna say, hold tight, who got tickets? Hold tight, are you all right? Hold tight, can I help you with that pushchair? Hold tight, can I help you with that buggy-eyed baby? Maybe we should hold on tightly. Yeah. Thank you. One day, John turned on his radio and heard a voice say,
"Hello, I'm the genie in your wireless."
"If you're a genie, why aren't you in a bottle?" John snapped at what he thought was another stupid advert, and slightly hurt, the genie replied,
"You could say I've lost my bottle, couldn't you, John? But only because you always tend to state the obvious."
Realizing that the genie was probably real, John immediately demanded his three wishes.
"So you only want me for what you can get, then?"
"Of course. Why else does anybody want anyone?"
"For what they can give,"
suggested the genie. "Okay," John replied. "So give me a great big car."
"How beautifully humble,"
remarked the machine's unseen ghost.
"How wholly imaginative. Not like the last person who asked me for a piece of peanut brittle and wanted to be the rainbow in the bubble of a troublemaker's spittle."
"That's right," agreed the other, slightly confused. "Nothing like it. I want a big car and I want to be able to drive."
"All right. But that's your lot,"
said the voice in the radio. "No, it's not. No, that's only one wish. Two at the most," John complained. And the genie explained about the cuts in the magical services industry and told him that there was a march if he was interested. "The only march I'm interested in is the one that comes after April."
Said John, making a bit of a mistake.
There's no more. This is about the German expressionist artist Otto Dix. This is called Otto Dix Art Attack. "I heard them on Radio 3, the critical faculty, piling it on about his great grotesquerie, but expressing their dismay at how greatness had gone away by the end. And I wanted to defend him. I wanted to say that I knew something they didn't about Otto. What you do best won't be what you do last, was his motto. The critics had a go at Otto Dix for not being any good when he was 76 or however old he was. But after those past decades of exhausting brilliance in his retirement, why couldn't they allow a chap to paint for pleasure and to be crap?" This is called Bradford to Bristol. "From Bradford, Yorkshire to Bristol, Temple Meads, you don't have to change your underwear, but you have to change at Leeds." check this. Some of you may be wondering what this instrument's called. It's called Steve. It's called Train Spotters.
So some of us wear Adams, and some of them have hoods with fur on, and some of us drink quite a bit of coca, but it doesn't mean we're loco. So hold your tunnel vision, will ya? Everybody's looking out for something that may be round the bend. We just tend to do it with a duffel bag, but we're train spotters, we're not trendsetters. It's a passion, not a fashion show, and a platform ticket takes us just as far as we want to go. It's taking down another person's underwear, being any more alive, and taking down a 1, 2, 5 little details. Okay, so we may be wetter, but it is better than drying. The wet that you get from crying over a love that is dying. Platform tickets, we've got platform tickets, oh. And a platform ticket takes us to the end of the platform show. It's not a fashion show, it's smashing though.
It's almost time for us to go, yeah. You've had the edits, now here are the credits for who's been here inside your radio. There's been Susan Norton, Keith Moore, Nigel, Roy O'Shea, Tony Curtis, myself, John Hegley, and the production was by Phil Clark. You've been harking to us.